Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. Today I'm joined with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are we doing today?
Hi, I'm really good. Thank you, Coach Steve. How are you?
I'm well. Well, I don't know how well is well, because I think I'm well done, Nick. I think I'm well done. You know why? I'm cooked. I just finished my training session just prior to this podcast, and I think I have figured out what the acronym RDL stands for, Nick.
What does it stand for?
It must and has to stand for roast dem legs, right? Yes. Roast dem legs, because Jesus, yeah, my hammies are loving life. They're well done, like a well-done steak. And I think by the end of this podcast here, I'm going to be having to get up and stretch because my legs will be cramping from the crazy pump that I just got.
I want you to get to the point where you have to use the lifting straps for your RDLs.
Oh, yeah, no, I do already. That's fine.
Okay, good
That's
job.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think as I've kind of matured into lifting more and more, I used to think very naturalistic with my training. Like, oh, no, I don't want to use lifting straps, or I don't want to use lifting belts, and I don't want to use weightlifting heels and, you know, all the other tools that come with training. Yeah. And I think as I've kind of matured into training, I've understand that these are tools that you can use, just another tool and tool belt. Some of the things we don't want to rely on all the time. So if you can't train unless you have your lifting gloves on, okay, that might be a bit of a problem if you can't do anything without them. But if that makes your session better, we can utilize those tools. So yeah, when I'm doing things like, let's say, an RDL, I like to use lifting straps so that it takes the focus away from my grip and focusing more and more on my hamstrings to roast them legs. Nick, roast them legs.
Yeah. I love RDLs. I do. I hate them, but I love them.
Yeah, it's like training legs. You know, you love and hate them.
Yeah, yeah. I like your cues. So one day you can make a reel with your cues.
With my cues, yeah, my cues are a little bit not safe for work.
No.
But if you want an interesting way to feel your hamstrings, maybe for an After Dark special, Nick, we'll talk about some lifting cues that are a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I like it though, because as soon as you told me, I was really understanding that. And yeah, I think I'll be able to think that next time as well. It's not as bad as what everybody's thinking, so don't stress.
No, it just involves a sphincter that is in your mouth pointing to a part of the wall behind you. That's essentially what it is. But it's a nice one because it forces you to tilt your pelvis forward so you can stretch the hamstrings, and especially as you're lowering that barbell down. And I think whenever you're training your hamstrings, like you've got to focus on that eccentric portion, that lowering phase, because if you're just like dumping the hamstrings, you're not feeling anything. So you've got to stretch them hamstrings to grow them hamstrings.
Very true, very true. And your hammies, do they pretty much, I mean, your quads are huge. How are your hammies in relation to your quads?
Yeah, I think my hammies are one of those areas that I think don't grow because I just can't see them. Mm-hmm. And I would say that I'm a little bit more quad and glute dominant from squatting work as opposed to hamstring dominant, but I think that they're definitely there. A little story about me is that I have had my ACL reconstructed. Mm-hmm. And if you know ACL reconstruction surgery, they take a graft from a tendon, another tendon in your body, and I actually had it from my hamstring tendon. So that was way back, let's say a good 5+ years ago that I had this reconstruction. And even now, my right hamstring still feels 1 weaker and 2 less coordinated than my left hamstring. So when I'm going to do hamstring work, if I use both legs, happy days. If I do unilateral stuff, oh, I'm like disabled. Like I really struggle. So it happens to all of us. And as we improve over time, you know, we get better, better, better. But yeah, hammies, you got to love the hamstring pump, and especially the burning sensation that you get in those hamstrings.
Next time we go to Athleticon, you should try the standing single leg hamstring curl. See what you think.
Yeah, I have dabbled in one of those at a gym. It wasn't really purely standing. It was maybe like a half kneeling position in that curl position. But that seems like lots of fun.
Let's give it a crack next time. Let's put it on our to-do list.
We will have happy hamstrings.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Our adventures, Coach Nick and Steve's adventures in around Melbourne.
Now, Nick, we are on episode number 65 of the Challenge Weekly Show, and we're in this kind of lull period, Nick. So, yep. You know, we're kind of in between challenges. We've just wrapped up the January challenge. It's all finished. It's over. And we're in the process of interviewing our top 10 finalists. So keep an eye out for those interviews. You want to hear the stories of people just like you who, you know, maybe they got in the top 10 or maybe won the challenge. So if you want to hear their story about some of the challenges that they overcame to get their amazing result, go check out some of those podcasts launching over the next couple of weeks. But the transition from the Max and Maxine Challenge to the M Challenge is kind of taking a bit of time for us. And we are getting lots of individuals asking us, oh, when's the next challenge? When's the release date for the next challenge? And so on. Yeah. All I can say is it's coming soon. And probably within the next couple of weeks, you'll be able to download the app and play around with the app. So we're looking at launching that app around in that start of June time. Start of June time, which isn't too long. So a couple of weeks, you'll be able to download that app and you can start playing around with the features on the new M Challenge app. So it's coming very soon, and I guarantee that you're going to hear about it because it's going to be a big announcement. So you're not going to be left in the dark when that gets announced.
And so when you download the app after you've purchased the challenge, that doesn't mean the challenge starts then either. So just so if you think, oh, that's the start date, it isn't. Don't confuse it. It's just your chance to download the app and have a play around with it before we launch the actual challenge. So. But that's so fun. I'm so excited.
Yeah. And I think that's a really cool difference that we've had with the website versus the app is that previously in the website, is locked until prep week. But now with the app, you better download the app from day one that you're able to. You can log in once you've paid. And you can ask us questions on the forum. You can go check out some of the content. You can interact with some of the features on the app. And then once we transition into prep week, that's when the challenge actually begins. And you can start looking at your nutrition plan and training plan and all the other cool things that open up once the challenge actually starts. So, really exciting times with this app. And we're excited for you to play around with all the cool things that we have in store for you.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, there is a forum on the app, and that's so exciting. That's where you can contact us. And because it will be before the challenge starts, you can ask us anything. I mean, I don't think you want to know everything about us. I mean, anything about you that we can help you with.
Now, look, you might be feeling lost in between challenges, you know, not sure what to do, you know, potentially Steve said June that you could download the app. That's like a month away. Like, what am I going to do for 4 weeks, right? So you might be a little bit lost, and that's cool. That's fine. You're going to be okay. And the first thing I'll say is that I'll invite you to connect with us on social media platforms. So if you haven't already, go check out the Facebook Social Hub where you can interact with other challengers and challenge alumni. And we have different theme days. We have live videos. We have other content. We have recipes. We have workouts, all the good stuff, all on a Facebook Social Hub. And it really is a social hub because it is a social platform, right? Where we're all supporting each other and motivating each other to live that healthy life and that fitness life that we all want. Other than that Facebook social group, we have our Instagram platforms where there's a whole range of content coming to you shortly on the new m.challenge.official Instagram page. So go make sure you go follow that one there. And then, of course, we have our podcast. So we have 64 other podcast episodes of the Challenge Weekly Show. We have Meet the Challenger series where you can meet other top 10 finalists, which some of them are coming out very, very soon. And then a whole host of other videos from the archives over the past years. And you can probably hear my voice slowly become deeper and deeper as I've aged through the challenge and through the challenge podcast. 3 years. Oh, yeah. No, Nick, I swear, having a baby, I feel like I'm 29 right now, but I feel like I'm moving into my 40s. I think I completely empathize with all other parents out there where I just feel like I've aged so quickly being a dad. And
yes.
That's all the fun of it, right?
Yes, yes. And it's just a joy from start to finish. Well, I haven't had the finish yet. But...
Now, this is when you were about to say, oh, Steve, it's just the beginning.
I know. I hate it when people do that. So I really stopped myself. And I took my kids to see Harry Potter, the musical, or not musical, sorry, the play the other day. And actually that was amazing. So I was really happy because only really teenagers up can kind of see it because it's a little bit scary and it goes for a long time. So that was really cool.
Really cool. No, I mean, I'm looking forward to those times where I could take my boy out to places and go to the gym, lift some weights and go watch those Marvel movies. They're probably still doing them in like 10 years' time. So I'm excited for those times. But I think right now when he's, he's in crawling mode, so I'm going to have to put a little bell on him because he's off. When you don't look at him and he turns around, he's gone. You got to find baby again. So that's always fun.
Yeah. Oh, well, you can have a bell on him like Hector Salamanca.
Ah.
From Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul. He has a little bell. Mexican cartel things.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Anyway.
Now, Nick, let's talk M Challenge. And with the new M Challenge, we have brand new programs. Okay.
Yep.
So we are moving aside from the classic Lena Ripped and Toner Shaped programs. That is going to be archived with the Max and Maxine Challenge. And we're bringing on the new M Challenge M programs. So M can stand for lots of things. I think in this way, it's going to be our main program, the M program. And the M programs are going to have a range of different styles. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about it. Firstly, we have a program called the M Classic. Okay. M Classic is going to be our main program, and that is going to be built around 45-minute workouts. So it's going to have a volume prescription of about 15 sets of exercise, about 5 exercises, 3 sets apiece. So it should take you about 45 minutes, given that you're doing maybe about 3 minutes per set, as in do the set, have a rest, do another set. So about 45 minutes for our M Classic programs, Nick. Next, we've got our M Express. So same style of program, except a shorter workout. So this might be suitable for someone who is time poor. Maybe you're a busy parent or really struggling to get into the gym. So these are going to be 30-minute workouts. So it's going to be 10 sets of exercise, 30-minute workouts, nice, quick, short workouts, usually about 4 exercises per workout. And then for those who love to spend more time in the gym, of course, we have our M Plus programs. It's going to be 60-minute workouts, okay?
Yep.
So that's going to be about 5 to 6 exercises, about 20 sets of exercise, 20 sets of volume per program. And that's going to be our M Plus program. So all three are going to be very similar. The only difference is you're doing more or less actual work. All three will be suitable for beginner, intermediate, advanced. And all three will be suitable for those who have goals to build muscle or those who have goals to lose body fat. Okay, because we know with training, the main goal is that we're trying to either build or maintain as much muscle mass as we can. The big factor that changes those two goals is our approach to diet and nutrition. Okay, so if you are wanting to lose weight, no dramas, choose either the M Classic, M Express, or M Plus. Or if you wanted to build muscle, great, M Classic, M Express, or M Plus, and just adjust your diet accordingly. So these three programs, Classic, Express, and Plus, will be our commercial gym-based programs. So they will require a range of equipment that is super common in gyms. We're talking barbells, dumbbells, some machines like a leg press, and cables and those apparatuses. So they're going to be our gym-based programs. Now, we also have our home-based programs. So we have the M Home. So M Home will be our home program, and the minimum equipment for that is just a set of dumbbells. So if you are training at home, we're going to invite you to grab a set of dumbbells. They could be fixed or adjustable, up to you. And that's going to be our M Home program. And then we also have our M Home Gym program. Ooh, we're really creative with our names, aren't we? So the home gym program would be someone like, let's say you and I, Nick, who have a garage full of equipment. So the minimum equipment there would be dumbbells, a barbell, and a squat rack.
Yeah.
So that would be a range of equipment there. And then most also including things like a bench, maybe a chin-up bar. So that's going to be a home gym. That's pretty common what individuals, if they've invested some money, maybe over COVID, have that set up at home. They've got a bench, they've got a squat rack, they've got a barbell, they've got some plates, they've got some dumbbells, those types of things. So that program, the M Home Gym, will be kind of similar to the M Classic, M Express, and M Plus, but it just won't have any commercial machinery such as cables or those cool machines that we see in gyms. So that's going to be kind of our 5 standard M programs. So M Challenge, M programs, main programs, they're going to be our main stream, those 5 programs, with, of course, more programs to come. That's going to be our launching programs, those 5.
So exciting. So exciting. It's just so good. I'm very, very, very pleased.
Yeah, I'm really excited for these programs. And then, just dabbling with the nutrition side of things, Very similar to our nutrition workbook. It's going to be super tailored to you. So it's going to ask you a range of questions such as your height, your weight. You have a nice sliding scale, which is really cool, about where your goal lies. Maybe you want to lose weight rapidly, or maybe lose weight steadily, or maybe you want to gain weight steadily or gain weight rapidly. So you could slide the scale, which is really cool. I'm excited for you to play around with that. And then it will assign you a program, a nutrition program that's close to your goals, and it will have all the features that you've seen on the nutrition workbook, where you can swap foods in and out. It's got a nice shopping list. If you're not a fan of the design of our nutrition plan, where you're going to scratch your head, go, well, what am I meant to cook? We've got a range of recipes, a couple of hundred there, that you can scroll through and you make it a breakfast, lunch, and dinner happy day. So lots of variety on our app, and I'm of course excited for you to play around with it and let us know what you think.
Yes, and all the recipes will have their macros on them, so that's good too, because that's something we previously didn't have for all our recipes, but now we do.
Oh yeah,
that's great.
Look, talking about other exciting things that are happening around the Max and Maxine company. So we of course here work at the M Challenge, which is under the umbrella of Max and Maxine. But the team that work alongside with our supplements have been working hard to get the Maxine products into Coles supermarkets. So if anybody works in retail or maybe the back end of retail, might understand the difficulty, I would say, to kind of get these products on the shelf, go through a range of screening processes and legislation, all that other good stuff. So we're excited to say that you can now purchase Maxine products, that's the Burn Bars or the Burn Cookies, from your local Coles supermarkets and Coles Express petrol stations as well, or gas stations, or wherever.
That is so cool. So cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's been a long time coming. I do believe that we're trying to get the Max's products in as well. But it's a long process. And finally, we've got the Maxine products, and that's Australia-wide and soon to be in, I believe, Woolworths as well. But that's a little bit of a longer process. So go head on over to Coles and you can buy some Maxine products there.
Yeah, if you see any, take a photo and put it up for us and show us. We like to see.
Oh yeah, we like to see it.
Tell us your toll. Tell us, but don't. I mean, don't tell us where you live. But
no.
Tell us your toll. You don't want us to come and visit you or something.
Yeah, so post about it. Maybe you could tag Maxine's Burn, the Instagram page, Spotted, and who knows? Maybe we'll create a little prize, Nick. Maybe we'll send you out a box of cookies or something about that.
Yeah, or ironically, some bars.
Spotted some bars. Send out some bars.
Oh, I spotted some bars. I'm not going to buy them because I'm going to wait and see if I win the bars.
Gosh. Mm. Now, Nick, you know I love training my legs, right?
No. Skip leg day so much.
Yeah. But see, I've always had this problem where I split my shorts, right?
So, oh yeah.
And I think that's the problem of like, one, as you kind of build muscle, like firstly, it's hard to find like active wear to fit well, right? And then two, when you do kind of go like, you know, that real like ass to grass squat, like you end up splitting the shorts, right? I'm in the market for some fresh shorts for me to squat in. Do you know what brand I can buy?
I'm thinking for you probably need something. It sounds silly, but you might need something that you can actually do like yoga in. Like a Lululemon, because that's something that's designed for people to be bending over a lot and moving quite a bit. So, I mean, it sort of sounds funny that I'm not telling you to get something from an activewear brand, but I'm sure you've had that before and it may be they're the ones that have split. So I would probably say for you, give Lululemon a crack. And now we're not sponsored by anyone, but I quite like Lululemon myself. I find their tights to be very well made. They complement my physique no matter where I am in any phase. So if I'm looking ultra lean, they just totally make everything pop. And if I'm not as lean, they still make everything look good. So I really like Lululemon. I suggest that you give them a crack.
I think I'm going to have to. I think either that or I'm just going to have to wear like compression shorts or pants while I'm lifting. Yeah. And hopefully they have some stretch in them. I think Lululemon's going to be my go-to. I think in the past, because here we go. Here's a silly thing and you probably pick it out straight away. because I was tearing my shorts so often, I ended up just buying like Kmart and Target shorts, which then made me tear them more often. So then I was buying more like Kmart and Target shorts, right? Right. So yeah, I think my problem is that I'm going to need to invest in something fancy with my activewear. So I think Lululemon is my place to go.
You might have to just like message Tom Platts or something and say, what shorts do you wear? Although Tom Platts probably wears tiny denim shorts, to be honest. He's not the right person to ask.
Yeah, yeah. But, or I just find some like, you know, some like loose footy shorts with or something like really short shorts.
Yes. Mm. Yes, that would be wonderful. Laura would love that.
Gosh. Yeah. Anyway, look, Nick. Our next segment here is our non-scale victories. And, you know, in between challenges, we're actually going to put the non-scale victories just on the shelf at the moment until the challenge begins once again, where we could celebrate some of the effort that individuals are putting in. But that doesn't mean that you should stop looking at your non-scale victories. So if you do find a non-scale victory, post about it. Post about it on our Facebook social hub, maybe on Instagram. And remember that those non-scale victories are those wins that aren't related to the scales. That can be something like, oh, I tore a hole in my shorts because my booty's getting too big, or I'm squatting so deep that I tore a hole in my shorts. That's a non-scale victory. Awesome. Or if you are, you know, finding that your t-shirt is looser because you're losing weight, or you're able to do a chin-up now, or you can squat your body weight. Awesome. These are huge non-scale victories that you should definitely celebrate. So keep your eye out for those wins.
Can I ask you a hypothetical question before we continue?
Do just I say that give you a hypothetical answer?
Yes. Yeah. Just say that you were squatting and mm-hmm. then you split your shorts, but like you were doing so well, and just say you were going for a rep PB, would you keep going, or would you re-rack and just move forward with life?
If I was at home, I'd keep going. If I was at a gym, I'd keep going.
Me too. Because
the gains, Nick. Come on.
Like, I just don't think it's up to me to decide when I stop. It's up to my body. And it doesn't matter if I split my shorts. I will keep going.
Amazing. Nick, let's move on to our next segment here, which is the Coach's Corner, where we offer our tip for the week. So, Nick, what advice do you have for us?
I'm going to chat just a little briefly bit about menopause and training and slash, you know, losing body fat. Now, I have done a really good podcast with Dr. Tamara Hunter, where she, who is far more qualified than me to chat about this sort of stuff, chats all about the different hormones and what you can do if you think your hormones are out of whack, because that's outside my scope. So I'm just going to talk pretty much about some easy hacks to kind of mitigate those things that we always hear about that happen in menopause, as in suddenly you start to gain weight everywhere and you know, it's harder to lose weight, and you can't have 20 vodkas and a donut and lose weight, you know, like you used to. But remember also, you used to probably dance all night. That's the other thing that I've got to say. So firstly, because, you know, when you go through menopause, typically, this is only typically, and this is just me sort of talking, it is going to be at an age generally where your kids are starting to be that little bit older, so you've got a bit more freedom. Now, that might mean financial freedom, which means you can go out a little bit more, maybe have some more alcohol, some more food that you wouldn't maybe have necessarily had, cook less at home, spend more time socializing again, and maybe also just not move as much as you used to. Now, put that also together with the fact that, you know, you might be starting to lose a bit of sleep. There might be a few things going on in your body where your stress level is a little bit higher, and you haven't sort of mitigated that. You haven't figured that out yet. You haven't gotten rid of maybe the excess caffeine, things like that, that might help you. You haven't established a good sleep hygiene ritual. And also, like, stress, that sometimes stuff, like if you've got teenage kids, they could be horrific, hypothetically. you know, there are things like that that really don't help. Now, what can you do to help yourself? Firstly, I would say, above all else, resistance training. So resistance training, that's also what Tamara Hunter said. No, she's also won our challenge before, so she's all over the resistance training thing. But yeah, resistance training is something that you can absolutely do, because that is going to help you. It is going to help you, A, to be strong, to feel better, but also to create that muscle that's then going to raise your metabolism. You're going to actually then be able to consume more calories ultimately when you do have more muscle mass, and that's going to help you as well. So I would say resistance training. Don't think that just because you're starting to get older, things have to change for you there. You know, you can own the gym. I mean, I'm 43, and like I was going to do a Craig Harper and swear I'm, you know, squatting and deadlifting better than I've ever done. You know, I'm absolutely like at the peak of like where my physique could be at this time. And it is because I have got a little bit more time to invest in myself. And I'm learning more and more all the time about my body. I'm also learning about how important sleep is to me. If I'm under recovered in terms of sleep, then my mood goes down. I tend to then feel hungry. Which that's the other thing, because it's a vicious cycle. Yes, so many different things. And I'll just quickly say, I was chatting to my friend who she's, I think, going through menopause at the moment. And she was saying, oh, gosh, I'm going to have to do more cardio because I haven't been on my 6 bike rides this week. And I've only been doing, you know, my weights, but my weight's gone up. And I said, it was your birthday, right? And she goes, yeah, it's my birthday month. And I'm eating out all the time at the moment. And I said, is it maybe that your food's gone up, you know, and also you're having alcohol and stuff? She's like, oh, yeah, but I'm not doing my cardio. And I'm like, it actually just sort of starts at looking at what you consume as well, because you can't really out-train all of that food and wine. And it's great that you want to celebrate that, but just be mindful of those things.
Yeah, I find that really interesting, actually, when you think about like menopause and the how it coincides with that time in our life. Like you said, like, you know, if you are in that menopause age, let's say, you know, I'm going to say loosely like over 40, right? You may be, like you said, if you have kids, maybe there are like teenage or late teenage age, you might be more financially independent. You might be having a little bit more time. That means that you might be socializing more. You might be going out more. If you are, you know, less active because you're, you know, not running around after your kids as much and things like that, you know, all these other lifestyle factors, then, you know, along comes menopause and gives a little bit of a nudge, being like, hello. And then, you know, we're really quick to point our finger and be like, oh, geez, menopause, you did this to me. When, you know, that might be contributing, let's give it an arbitrary number, like 10% to this whole situation. But the bigger portion is like our lifestyle factors, right? So I wonder if, you know, we've been pointing the finger at menopause and giving it a really bad rap, when maybe it's just, you know, kind of like pushing us slightly in this direction, but because of all those other kind of factors that kind of creep in with life, and that's okay, you know, life is life. But then that's when it really becomes important to, you know, give ourselves that TLC where, hey, just because you can go out on the weekend with your girlfriends and you've got money and time to do so, do you need to drink a whole bottle of wine? And is that contributing to you, you know, sleeping poorly, you know, maybe gaining a little bit of body fat, or maybe not feeling as energetic as you were in your 20s, and you're blaming menopause when it might be other factors. And I'm not you know, pushing menopause to the side. I sympathize with that. I'm like, I will never experience menopause, I hope. So I can't speak too much about that. But I do think that, you know, those factors that we can influence, such as, like you said, resistance training and focusing on our sleep and, you know, just giving ourselves some TLC and, you know, drink some more water, go for a walk, look after yourself. Like, these might be, you know, your key weapon to combat those symptoms of menopause. And especially as you age healthily, if that's a word, and you know, combat some of those negative effects that can happen to people. Yeah,
just be one of those badass chicks in the gym that just lifts weights and everyone says, I thought you were 20.
Love it.
That's the only way to be. You know, love, just live in the gym, and because you're badass enough to stand up for yourself, no, just say, you know, this barbell is taken at the moment. No, I don't need a spot. I'll be spotting you. You know,
love
just be the badass that you know you can be. And just the other thing is, like, yeah, if you suspect any hormonal stuff, go and see someone who's an expert, because then they'll be able to put you on the right path and see what's going on there as well.
Yeah. Nick, I'd like to continue my little hypertrophy series in today's Coach's Corner.
Oh, so, good. All right.
So we are up to hypertrophy tip number 4. So hypertrophy tip number 1 was utilizing stretch-mediated hypertrophy. So you can go listen to that one a few podcast episodes ago. Number 2 tip was understanding overload. Number 3 was maximizing the mind-muscle connection. And then here, tip number 4, we're going to be talking about matching resistance and strength profiles. Ooh, what a mouthful. Let's get into it. So first thing I'd say is that these are, you know, tips are in no particular order. It's not like one is more important than the other. Mainly designed to kind of get you thinking about your approach to strength training. Okay. So what am I talking about resistance profiles and strength profiles? So starting with resistance profiles, what that means is the resistance that we achieve from different tools. So let's say, let's compare like dumbbells to a resistance band to cables, okay? So we know that, let's say dumbbells, we're fighting gravity. So whenever the dumbbells is moving vertically, that's, you know, the resistance that we feel. But if the dumbbell is moving horizontally with gravity, we don't feel much, right? So, you know, I could hold a dumbbell like in my hand, you know, with my forearm pointing to the sky, and, you know, I could wave my hand back and forth. It's not gonna be very heavy because I'm going, you know, with gravity. But then if I was to try to move the dumbbell up and down, that's going against gravity. So it's gonna feel that resistance in that motion. So we can apply that in like an arc fashion. So if you're doing, let's say, a bicep curl, we know that the bicep curl is going to be really hard when we're in that phase where the dumbbell is moving vertically really rapidly. But then once that dumbbell gets towards the top and it's moving more horizontally, we're not going to feel as much resistance. Okay, so that will be resistance profile of like a dumbbell. We compare that to a cable. The cable is going to be the same resistance all the way through, because with that cable, we're using a stack. The pin loaded stack is going up and down most often. So when we pull that cable, no matter where we are in the bicep curl as an example, we're going to feel the same tension. So if we were to compare the two resistance profiles, the cable is maybe more of a straight line. The resistance is the same the whole way through. Whereas a dumbbell, it might be, you know, difficult in that mid portion because it's moving through the most through gravity. But then at the very top, it's not moving as much. Then we have something like resistance bands. So resistance bands, like an elastic band, the further we pull that resistance band, the more resistance we're going to achieve. So if you're doing a bicep curl with a dumbbell, a bicep curl with a resistance band, it's going to be harder at the very top and easier maybe at that mid portion. So a little bit opposite to a dumbbell, okay? So when we're talking about those resistance profiles, every exercise will have its own unique resistance profile, and that resistance profile will be different to different target muscles. Okay, so if you're trying to compare, let's say, a glute ham raise to a back extension to like an RDL and a good morning, so they're all similar motions, like a hip hinge, and they'll all have their own resistance curve depending on which muscle you focus on. Let's say the hamstrings or the glutes or that erector spinae muscle. Okay. Now, first thing I would say before we kind of dive any deeper is that we're going to be talking about what might be the most optimal, as in like on the highest pedestal. That doesn't mean that you can't do these things, or you can't mismatch resistance profiles and strength profiles, because you can, and nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about my nerds out there, my hypertrophy nerds who want to optimize things, okay? So now we start talking about strength profiles, okay? So when we're talking about a muscle, we know that a muscle is its strongest when it's at its middle portion, okay? So put simply, when a muscle is really stretched, it kind of struggles to create force. And when the muscle is really contracted, it struggles to create force because it's just so cramped, as in like so close together. So it's strongest around that middle portion of when you're contracting. So an example is, let's say if you're going to flex your bicep, if your elbow is completely straight, that's not as strong through the bicep. And then if your elbow is completely bent, so your hand is almost touching your shoulder, your bicep won't be able to create as much force. Your bicep will be the strongest when your elbow is at, let's say, that 90 degree-ish mark, because that's a nice optimal cross-bridging of the myostatin for any physiology nerds out there. Okay, so number one would be that middle portion of strength. Number two would be the actual length and position, because we utilize passive structures like, you know, fascia and connective tissue. And then number three strongest would be the fully contracted state. So now when we start talking about matching resistance profiles and strength profiles, we start to find different resistance tools to be better to stimulate different muscles. So let's say that bicep curl, if I'm strongest at that mid portion, second strongest at the lengthened portion, and then third strongest or weakest at the fully contracted portion, it would be kind of maybe more optimal to utilize something like a dumbbell to do a bicep curl, because you get to feel the most tension at the very bottom. You know, you get this really nice stretch at the bottom. Then you feel more tension through that mid portion of that bicep curl. And then as you go towards the top, where you are actually weaker through the bicep, the exercise becomes easier because you're moving with gravity, okay? Whereas if you compare that to something like a resistance band, it's almost the opposite, where when your arm is straight, it's the easiest in terms of resistance, but you're also the strongest, right? But then when you go to contract your bicep completely, that resistance band adds the most tension, but then you're also weakest in the bicep, okay? So there might be a mixed match with that resistance and strength profiles. Does that mean that you should never do a bicep curl with a resistance band? No, I'm just saying this more might be maybe more optimal to utilize something like a dumbbell. Now, this is where some individuals probably get the most limiting, okay? And I'm gonna talk about back training, training your back, and I'm gonna talk about doing something like a pull-up. Okay, so you see it all the time, individuals trying to build muscle in their back, and they would try to do a chin-up at home, sure, and chin-ups are too difficult, maybe we're not strong enough to do a chin-up, so we'd utilize something like a resistance band to give us a bit of support. Now, the problem here is that when you use a resistance band, when you're doing something like a pull-up or a chin-up, as you lengthen your arms straight, right, your lats stretch the most, and you know, you're starting to be in a position where you are almost the strongest in your lats, right? Because they're in that stretched position, or maybe that mid portion position. But then you're also utilizing that resistance band, stretching that resistance band. So it's now the easiest portion of the movement when you're using that resistance band is when you are the strongest, when your lats are lengthened. So then as you go through that chin up, you start to use less resistance from that resistance band, and you have to rely more on your you know, your body weight to provide you with that resistance while you're at that shortened position of the lats. So the lats actually can't contract as effectively because they're the weakest, right? Even though they need the most demand to do that chin up. So what ends up happening is you utilize lots of upper back muscles to complete that movement, okay? So a way we can overcome that is to utilize something like a what we call a rack pull-up. So you might, in like a squat rack, you set up a barbell on a rack, maybe at chest height, and then you have a bench in front of you. So then what you could do is you could grab hold of the barbell and then place your feet on the bench, then straighten your arms down, and your hips might be, you know, just off the floor. So then what happens is, in that position where your arms are straight, you've got the most body weight going through the lats. So you really stretch the lats. You're the strongest through the lats. You start that contraction. And as you go through to pull through that pull-up motion, you can utilize your legs slightly to give you a little bit of support when your lats are at their weakest portion. Okay, so that would be more optimal to train your lats, right, the big latissimus dorsi, without utilizing some of those upper back fibers. And we see it really often, and I see it the most in actually in women who are getting into strength training, and guys who are kind of just beginning their strength training journey, where they're trying to train their back and they end up shrugging a lot. So they get really strong upper backs, whereas their lats may be a little bit underdeveloped, maybe because they started with that approach of using something like a resistance band, building up lots of muscle in their upper back, that becomes their favorite muscle to do that back motion. So then they kind of miss out on developing, you know, that V lat muscle, rather than spending lots of time developing their upper back. So that's ultimately tip number four, is to start thinking about what resistance curve, what resistance profile the exercise you're doing has, and then what strength profile does your muscle have, and do those two match up? Or is one, is there a mixed match, and that is a bit of a limiting factor to your approach to hypertrophy?
Mm. gosh. Well, I can't even tell you how many rack pull-ups I've done over the years. I think I spent the whole of lockdown doing those. To get good at my pull-ups. And only recently have I developed lats. So I believe, I think it's the last thing to come for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that I was one of those. I was like, what are those things from Lord of the Rings or whatever?
Like an orc.
Yeah, I suppose, or a like golem or whatever.
A golem, Schmeagle. Yeah, okay.
A troll.
Yeah.
So, also, like, say for cyclists and things where you're always leaning over and stuff, it's very you get very track dominant and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I like that idea. Because you see so many people using resistance bands for pull-ups. And sometimes when you see it a lot, you think, well, that must be right because so many people are doing it.
Yeah. And look, I want to highlight that it's not wrong if you have no other option to use a resistance band for help. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Like, doing something is better than doing nothing. I'm going to highlight that point. But I'm talking about what is optimal, especially for hypertrophy, and especially if you want to be like, maybe dabble in physique or bodybuilding sports and, you know, really focus on building muscle as opposed to performance. This is ways that we can maximize that muscle to get as much stimulus on it. Yeah.
All the M's. But all yeah, like M. I would so agree with that. And also I would just quickly say, with me developing my lats, it's made my entire physique different. It's made my waist look smaller. My waist hasn't changed one bit. And everyone's like, oh, your waist is so small. It's not. It's exactly the same as it used to be. It's just because my lats are giving me a bit of a taper now, you know?
Yeah.
So, yes.
One quick lat tip before we move on is I've started doing rows. And in the past, I used to do lots of rows moving into like extension through my body, right? So really trying to like arch the back, right? But lately I've been focusing on a bit of a flexion, right, through my body as I row. And gosh, I just feel like a real gnarly pump in my lats when I do that motion. So give that a try. So if you are, let's say example would be maybe a cable seated row. Most of us have done that exercise. You know, you got your feet up against a little pad, grab hold of the handles and you row. And as you row in the past, I used to do lots of like arching my back backwards, puffing out my chest, right? And nothing wrong with that. That's a totally acceptable way to do that motion. And as I do that arching back, I feel like a nice squeeze, maybe in between my shoulder blades, maybe in the back of my shoulders, I'm like, oh, the back is working. But then lately I've just been playing around as you do, like tinkering with things. I've been focusing on a little bit of flexion through my body, maintaining that flexion. And as I row, driving my elbows towards my hips and that was really highlighted my lats, really on the side of my body as opposed to just lots of into the armpits. So it's a little bit of a different feeling. My invitation is to dabble with that, and I think that goes across with lots of exercises where, again, there's no one absolute way to do an exercise. Each one of us is going to feel it slightly differently. And as we kind of tinker with things, as I was talking with Nick just before this podcast, where with my RDLs, I've been playing around my foot position lately. And gosh, I'm like, 10, 12 years into training. And, even now I'm still tinkering, finding even better ways to feel those muscle groups when I'm training. So, if you've been training just for a couple of years, I'm going to invite you to keep on tinkering, maybe feel, what if I rotate my shoulder this way? What if I, lift my shoulder towards my ear? What if I pull my shoulder down away from my ear? What if I flex my spine, extend my spine? Or what if I rotate a little bit? So all these little factors do play little parts in the puzzle of building muscle. Yeah.
Definitely. We could go on about that forever, because another one is calf training. And sometimes people with their foot position, it takes a little bit of experimentation as to what's the best place for you to put, what direction your feet should face and stuff for you to actually feel what you're meant to feel. Calf training is a big one. Lying down, hamstring curls as well. I find some people don't feel that straight away. So, heaps.
Heaps. Nick, let's move on to some question answers for the week. Okay. So first question here, is it okay for kids to lift weights? So Nick, take us away. What advice would you?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about this. I mean, not while you were talking, of course. I was thinking just before the podcast, and I was thinking about how, kids play sports all the time. They run, they jump. I mean, what's the force on a jump versus a squat? I mean, you'd have to probably, you'd know.
Yeah. So when you're running,
something squared or whatever.
No. So when you're running, which is probably the closest example, it's something like 9 times your body weight goes through one single leg when you're running. Yeah.
So nobody's going to be squatting 9 times their body weight on a single leg.
On a single leg, yeah.
So that's probably like, that is all, folks. Yeah, there's that. But just to expand a little bit. So, I mean, both of us think, you know, it's fine for kids to lift weights. It's absolutely a great thing to do. You know, obviously it's really good to have a skilled coach that will be able to introduce them to lifting weights with good technique from when they're young. And my favorite thing on Instagram is probably just coming across every now and then people such as, say, Sebastian Aurob, who has his daughter. She'd be maybe about, I don't want to say the wrong age, but maybe 14. But because she's his daughter, she gets to be coached by him and he helps her do the best squats, you know, obviously all in relation to what she can do and progression and things. And there's obviously the physical benefits, but then you see their relationship and the bond that they've got and how pleased she is when she can do that squat and how proud he is as well. There's all of that to add into it. So I really think that if I could turn back time, I would probably set foot in the school gym a little bit more, because there were a few guys in my year level that suddenly started to lift weights and they ended up awesome. So I think that if anyone's school has that as an option, I would suggest get into it.
Yeah, I had a school gym which kind of like invited me into to weightlifting and exercise. And there were a few inspirational teachers and people that worked in that gym that kind of guided us through those activities. But it was very much, you know, exploratory in nature and lots of, you know, kind of like fun involved with it. So it wasn't like a, you know, rough and tough, like, oh, we're going to lift some weights, or like, you know, what we might expect out of like a Rocky movie. It was, you know, a bit of fun, a bit of structure, and it was definitely scaled to our ability with lots of focus on like motor control, right? You know, if you give, let's say a kid, maybe a school age kid, something heavy to hold, let's say a shopping bag or a dumbbell or something like that, you can kind of see like a bit of motor control like being lost. But if you like learn how to control your nervous system and produce that force, you know, it makes them better athletes, like, you know, less injury prone because they're more resistant to things. And now, you know, as an adult, you got to pick up a dumbbell, you know, you got to do a chest press, you know, you know how to control that load. But as a kid, you simply don't, right? Your nervous system isn't developed. So if you can start a developing process, gosh, like, you know, that you can turn into a super athlete, especially as you kind of like start that process. But I think for me, the big one would just be to, yeah, scale it to their abilities. They don't need to be benching, you know, 100 kilos if they're, you know, 13-year-old boy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And maybe instead of lifting weights, you start with the language change of resistance training, where you go, okay, well, instead of lifting weights, we're going to focus on doing push-ups, right?
Exactly.
And then maybe once they're, you know, feeling comfortable with push-ups with, you know, a relative consistent technique, then you can introduce something like maybe some dumbbells or a bench press, or even just if you're in a commercial gym, some of the machines, awesome. You know, that could be a great way to start building some strength and some confidence in kids. You know, yeah, I do love watching Seb Aurob teach his daughter. I actually think she's 11, Nick. I think she's 11.
Gosh, there you go.
And yeah, and again, scale to her abilities. Like, you know, she's deadlifting 50, 60 kilos and she's nailing it and it's awesome. And I think that really highlights that. In the past, we used to think that, you know, resistance training was really bad for kids and stunts growth and all this other stuff. But, you know, as more and more research comes out, you know, it highlights that resistance training and physical activity is super important for kids, especially in, you know, today's age where we are so sedentary and it's easy to kind of fall into that sedentary trap.
Yeah, I believe Craig Harper has a friend, trains a friend's daughter. He talks about it a bit on his podcast. If anyone listens, you'd know. But she is benching something like 80 kilos and she's 16 years old. And
amazing.
Yeah. So I think he said, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it's something like when she gets to 100 kilo bench, he's going to give her $1,000.
Amazing. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I mean, it's great to hear and see, and I'm always encouraging my daughters to participate in things that I'm doing. So one day,
yeah. Love it. Next question here: what is the minimum amount of training I can do to build muscle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the minimum amount of training I can do to build muscle? Okay, so first thing I would say is that it's highly individual. Okay, so if you are a super beginner, just starting a training program, gosh, getting off the couch and walking, you're going to build muscle, right? Which really comes down to this idea that anything above like a minimum threshold, which is what you're doing, I guess, right now, anything above that is going to build muscle. So if you are doing absolutely nothing, doing something, if that is just walking, if that is, you know, sitting down in a chair 10 times a day, that's going to build muscle, okay? Anything below like a threshold or a standard that you're doing. So, you know, people like, you know, Nick and I, if we are doing, let's say X amount of activity throughout a week, if we do X minus one, we're, you know, not going to be building muscle. But if we do X plus one, we're going to be building muscle. Okay. So that's the main kind of concept around minimum training to do that. Now, realistically, if we're throwing some numbers around there, I would say for a beginner, you know, 2 times a week for about 30 minutes of resistance training would be enough to build muscle. And that could be literally any resistance training that you enjoy. If you're a beginner, that could be a great place to start. Even if you are happy just maintaining that, you can maintain that for a very long time before you need to improve anything on that. If you are more intermediate to advanced, throwing some numbers out there, around 10 sets per broad muscle group. So, you know, let's say like, you know, the quads, the hamstrings, the back, the chest, the shoulders, about 10 sets per muscle group per week is probably around that minimum effective volume for most intermediate to advanced trainees.
Very good.
But I would also just highlight, you know, super individual and difficult to measure as well. So probably some of those numbers might be a good starting point. But yeah, it's super context specific.
Yeah, see how you go.
Nick, next question here, interesting one. Why can some people eat whatever they want and stay skinny? What would you say to that?
Okay, so well, we've got to firstly define skinny, because it could be you're looking at somebody and thinking that they're skinny, but they may have a high percentage of body fat but just not take up much space in the world. So our definition of skinny could be different, like as in, you know, you could have actually less body fat than them but have more muscle. You don't know. So but if you're just thinking someone who just, everybody has sort of that friend that might appear to just guts and guts and guts and never put on any weight, the reason, there are so many reasons, so like I'm not going to be able to answer the exact reason, but it all comes down to energy balance. So I would suggest that this person has a bloody good lot of NEAT going on. So just that incidental exercise, they might be somebody that, like say me, I gesticulate a lot while I'm talking. You know, I just started doing that now just to illustrate my point, but I'm very I can't sit still. So that's some, like say Shane will eat his meal and stay seated for a long time, whereas I've got to start walking or do whatever I'm doing. My mum is the same, my grandpa was the same, and everybody but me is a stick. The reason I'm not a stick is only because I've trained with weights. Otherwise, I would be one of those just running around. My grandpa used to just plant trees outside all day in his retirement. So, and he ate whatever he wanted. But also the funny thing is these people you'll find have a decent way of regulating their appetite. So they might have a burger and chips and then they might feel satisfied with that. Whereas if we've got any food issues or if our hunger and satiety hormones are out of whack, we might then eat that burger and fries, but then go, I've stuffed up the whole day. I'm going to keep eating and keep eating and keep eating. Whereas those people can just go, I ate that. That was my lunch. Now I'm moving forward. And then they can even say, I don't feel that hungry at dinner time, which sounds ridiculous to me. But those people do that, you'll find. So you might spend that amount of time with them where you see them eating their lunch and they eat the fries and they eat this and you're eating a salad and going, what's going on? But then later on you might feel hungry because you haven't actually filled up, whereas they've filled themselves up. And I'm not saying junk food is the way, but I'm just saying it might appear that they eat you know, bigger and more satisfying foods, but that could also be their one meal for the day. You sort of don't know what's going on, but whatever is happening, their energy balance is probably pretty much, you're not saying that they're always losing weight either, so probably pretty much spot on. So they've inherently just found their maintenance calories and that's where they live. There are people like this.
Oh yeah, and you probably know someone like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I know. I reckon our beautiful friend Sheridan is one of those people. I've seen her eat millions of things, and she's a slip of a thing. And I just think she knows, she just, Sheridan just is, knows her maintenance, and you know, that's who she is.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think the key point here is that skinny is a arbitrary thing, because you're right, someone might be taking up less space than you, but they might have kind of more body fat than you because they are very limited in their muscle mass. And I do think it comes down to the individual response when they're fed. So comparing, you know, maybe yourself to your partner, Shane, where after a meal, yeah, like I think I probably relate a little bit to Shane, where, you know, if I have a big meal, like, you know, if I'm at a dinner party or wherever I am, if I have a big meal, gosh, I just want to sit down. Like I'm kind of in a food coma. Whereas I've seen other people, same situation, and they're running around. They want to dance. They want to go party. They want to play games. They want to go, you know, outside, go for a walk and things. And I think just our individual response to that kind of drives that you know, if you increase your NEAT, how many steps you do and things like that, or if you decrease it, then it drives if we are going to store a lot of body fat or metabolize some of that. Yeah, so.
Definitely. And the issues around food, because if you're someone who doesn't matter if you're hungry or not, you think you always need something sweet after dinner. It's sort of like, you know, what are your deep-seated beliefs and habits around food? Because that person might be like, oh, I ate a big lunch, I don't really need dinner. And that's foreign to me because you know, I wish I could be like that sometimes, but it's like I need to participate in meals it's the meal time. So I'm a hybrid of the two. I think because I grew some muscle, it's like that thing that's not in my control anymore. I no longer have control over my life because it costs a lot to have.
Nick, last question here. What do fat burners do?
Oh, Coach Steve, what do fat burners do? What
do fat burners do? Okay. So fat burners, as the name suggests, they can improve or increase how much fat we metabolize. And they're called fat burners because it's kind of concept, oh, we're burning it, which is kind of like the process of metabolism where we're kind of, you know, burning foods for energy, right? So that's where kind of fat burning the name comes from. Now, yes, it can be true that some fat burners increase fat metabolism, meaning that how much fat we use for energy. But the but here is that it may not affect the overall net fat loss, which we kind of relate to as fat oxidization, okay? Now, what drives net fat loss is ultimately calories in versus calories out. If you consume more calories or energy than you require, you're going to store body fat. Regardless, if you use more fat as energy, you're going to store more because everything balances up at the end of the day. Same as the other way. So if you consumed less energy than you expended, you're going to start losing weight because you've been in an energy deficit. So another way to think about it is when we're doing physical activity, when we're doing low physical activity, like walking, or maybe right now, Nick, you and I sitting down doing this podcast, we are actually metabolizing lots of body fat to complete this task, okay? Whereas if I'm going to go into a gym and lift some weights, or maybe go for a run or do some physical activity of a higher intensity nature, I'm going to start metabolizing more like glucose or glycogen, right? So carbohydrate sources, okay? So by that logic, we can go, well, if I wanted to burn more fat, if I wanted to metabolize more fat, I might as well just sit around and do low level activities because I'm metabolizing more fat, where we know that some of those higher activity tasks is actually what expends more energy. Okay, so it can be a little bit misleading if we are relying on fat burners or fat metabolizers or mechanisms that improve fat metabolism to try to change our overall fat levels, because the biggest driver in that change in fat levels will be our overall calorie intake. Okay, so most fat burners also including or work in conjunction with some thermogenics. So thermogenic agents would try to raise your core temperature. And thermogenics are found in lots of things, such as like caffeine. You know, we kind of get a little bit hot when you have caffeine. So what that can do is that sensation of feeling a little bit warm matches up nicely with the burn name in it, fat burner. We're getting hot, right? I'm melting the fat away, which sure, maybe you are metabolizing more fat, does it change your overall net fat levels? Probably not, because at the end of the day, it comes down to calories in, calories out. You might burn more body fat, but then you probably store more body fat to balance up with that, okay? But a really cool thing that might happen when we do consume more fat burners or thermogenic agents is that we increase that neat idea, that non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is things like, you know, Nick, when she turns Italian and she starts using her hand all the time, or when, you know, Nick's just had a big meal and she's going to go around and clean the house and go help her grandpa out in the garden, pot some trees. So that's our neat effect, that non-exercise activity that we do. So if you are, you know, really buzzed up because you've had a really strong coffee, or maybe you've taken some thermogenics and, you know, you've got the tingles, you're like, oh, I need to go and do all the things right now, you will expend more energy. So then what happens is we see a change in that energy balance because you're expending more energy that might move you into an energy deficit. You start losing some body weight, some body fat. So then great, the fat burner worked. Maybe not in a direct way. It didn't directly burn the fat, you know, like, you know, singed it off your body or grabbed it and pushed it away. But in an indirect way, it could help you by increasing your NEAT. It could help by changing that energy balance and then changing how much body fat we actually store in our body. So it can be a great tool. I would put that in the class of, you know, those kind of one percenters that might maybe could help, but it may not be the entire foundation or your entire strategy to change your body composition, because there are more effective ways, such as focusing on resistance training, or just focusing on the food that we eat so that we stay in an energy deficit to change our body composition.
Yeah, very good. Yes, agree.
Agree. Nick, let's wrap it up there for episode number 65. Is 65 retirement age or is it 67 now?
Oh, I don't know, because I'm not there yet.
Not there yet. Well, no, I feel like I'm getting close to that retirement age every day.
Shane knows. He's all ready for his retirement home already, but I'm not.
So. Well, look, episode number 65, maybe pseudo-retirement, but we're not going into retirement. Not yet. No. We're getting ready for the M Challenge.
Yeah, so we're just being born.
We're just like a baby coming out of the womb. Yeah. So if you like this episode, go check out the 64 other episodes. You can go check out some of the interviews with our top 10 finalists from the January Challenge launching soon. And we're excited to bring you the M Challenge app in the next couple of weeks. You've got to download the app, play around with it, and let us know what you think. But until then, we'll catch you next time for episode number 66. Ooh,
thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend.
Or leave us a review on iTunes to spread the good word. See you next time.